You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's February 13th, 2025, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in 15 minutes, or your next podcast is free. Thank you very much for tuning in today on this episode. I'm going to be talking about the puzzle game Spirit Swap. But first, let's check out some of this week's video game news. And Sony held a PlayStation State of Play yesterday and showed off a pretty large assortment of games coming to the PS5 over the next couple of years. And while we didn't get any info on some of those big PlayStation games that are in the pipeline, like Wolverine or Ghost of Yotai, it did feature lots of solid-looking games to be excited about. So I'm just going to do a quick rundown of some of the things that stood out the most to me. And first, if you were a big fan of Returnal from developer Housemarque, you'll be very excited to see their follow-up, Sorrows, which is coming out in 2026. It really looks pretty similar in a lot of ways to Returnal. I think they're going to take a lot of what they did with that last game and what they learned from that game and build on it to deliver something bigger and better. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater got a release date of August 28th. And because this series is so flippin' weird, they announced a special tie-in with Ape Escape. There's like a Ape Escape mode in the game, if you're playing on PS5 or PC. If you're playing on Xbox, you get Bomberman. Wackiness. Capcom brought a trailer for Onimusha Way of the Sword, which looks pretty slick, although you are going to have to wait until next year to play that one as well. Let's see. Sonic Racing Crossworlds looks like a really cool kart racer that introduces dimension hopping, similar to what we saw in the last Ratchet and Clank game. These portals are opening up on the track and you drive through them and all of a sudden you are in prehistoric time or a futuristic city or something like that. Honestly, it looks kind of rad and it made me think that I should probably check out this series at some point. It looks pretty good. And finally, because it's PlayStation, we got a new remastered PS4 game. And this time, it's Days Gone. The zombie-killing, motorcycle-riding action game that didn't exactly set the world on fire when it first came out, but who knows? Maybe the second chance will fix some of the issues I had with the original game. Sony's really been holding their cards close to their chest lately, so it's only a matter of time until they have a massive showcase, I think, revealing all of what their first-party studios have been working on. But in the meantime, this was a pretty decent showing, I think. Puzzle games are pretty awesome. I think they're one of the best ways to unwind for a few minutes at the end of a tough day. I used to play a ton of Hexic, actually, back in the Xbox 360 days. That was one of my favorites. But have you ever been playing a game like Bejeweled or Pokemon Shuffle and thought to yourself, I really like what they're going for here. I just wish it was more gay. Well, then my friend, you're in luck, because I've been playing Spirit Swap, lo-fi beats to match 3-2, and let me tell you, it is all kinds of gay. Now, before I talk about the game itself, let me talk about the developers for a second. Soft Not Weak is the name of this small co-op indie studio, meaning that the people who are actually creating the games are the ones who are going to be profiting from its success. Imagine that. What a radical idea. It's also made up of largely transgender and non-binary folks, which is also represented in the game and its characters. And that's something that I personally love to see, and I would love to see more of that kind of representation in games. So this is a studio that 100% deserves your support. When I first heard about the game, I saw a link to request review code, and I thought, hell no, they're getting my money. So let's talk about the game itself. So as the name implies, this is a match three puzzle game. You've got your Tetris-like field of play with colored blocks, or spirits as they are in this game, that are slowly moving up. And you need to create matches of three of the same color to clear the spirits before they reach the top of the screen. I'm willing to bet you've played something similar to this before, at least. You can move the spirits around by swapping two of them horizontally. So if they're next to each other, they just swap places. And while you can't swap vertically, you could, say, swap one spirit with an empty space to its right, and then that block will drop down below. Like any good puzzle game, the basics are simple, so it's easy to learn, and then the depth comes from learning the best strategies, and in the case of spirit swap, casting spells. You will learn different spells as you go through the game, but it boils down to form a certain shape out of blocks and then press B to cast the spell. So getting four spirits into a square might let you eliminate the top third of the field, or forming an X might let you slow down time for a little bit, things like that. The fundamentals are there for a solid puzzle game, and it is a good bit of fun. What takes Spirit Swap up a notch, though, over some other puzzle games, I think, is its personality. So, in the story mode, you'll be playing as Samar, a spirit swapper whose job it is to clear any spirits who happen to get past the barrier that normally keeps them out of the city. She's kind of a supernatural plumber, I guess. And in between matches, you'll be treated to a visual novel style story about Samar and her group of friends. And where I'm at so far in the campaign, a couple hours in, I described the story as, you know, fairly light stuff. You know, you've got some relationship drama, and there's something about a upcoming concert, but it all feels a little bit, you know, CW, if you know what I mean. Which I guess, depending on your age group, your generation, could be a good thing or a bad thing. I do really like meeting all the characters, though. They all have really cool designs, and the artwork is pretty fantastic in the hand-drawn animated characters. And the voice acting is really solid throughout. You also collect items after you win a match, which lets you customize your home. You can, like, switch out the rugs, artwork on the walls, and the such. It's mostly just, you know, cosmetic for kicks, but you'll also get new spells, which then you can swap out at your spell table thing. All told, I think there is a great style to the game with cool looking characters, even if the story itself isn't the most compelling I've ever played. Although, you know, I'm still pretty early, so maybe it picks up a little bit later on. If you don't care about that story, though, you can just jump into the endless mode, which lets you customize your difficulty however you want and just kind of play the game, chill out, and listen to the tunes, which I think are actually pretty good. The music is pretty nice. It's a decent way to just, like I said, chill out. Oh, and there's also a versus mode, although I didn't check that out yet. Spirit Swap is a game, you know, I'm really rooting for. I want it to do well. It's a fun puzzler with a cool style that, you know, maybe I felt a little bit old while playing it. Some of the dialogue, you know, it's a little, I don't know, TikTok-y, maybe. but I appreciate nonetheless. And it features representation that I really love seeing and I want more of all across the game industry. Last week, I did something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I got a new tattoo, and not just any tattoo. I got my first ever video game tattoo. So I guess, you know, that makes me a real gamer now. So after a lot of thinking and playing around with different designs, which Charlie helped me with, I ended up getting a Triforce tattoo. You know, with my love of the Legend of Zelda series, it seemed like a good fit. The Triforce is, so it's sitting on top of a, like a cracked stone disc, which to me represents myself. You know, it's old, it's weathered, it's a little bit worse for the wear. As for the Triforce itself, as fans of the series know, the Triforce is made up of three smaller triangles. There's the Triforce of Power, which in my tattoo is etched with the kanji for daughter, because my daughter is a force of nature and filled with ambition, and I don't think anything can stop her. The Triforce of Wisdom has the kanji for wife, because, let's be real, Christina is the captain of this ship and always knows the right thing to do. And the Triforce of Courage has the symbol for son, because my son is the bravest person I have ever met in my life. And I think it turned out pretty great. If you want to see it, I posted some pictures on the old Blue Sky page. And finally this week, we're going to open up another video game time capsule, and inside we find Dr. Mario. This is the 1990 puzzle game developed by Nintendo and released for both the NES and the Game Boy. It's currently available as part of the Switch Online service, which is where I checked it out. And this game kind of reinforced my memory that NES games were stupid hard. We are spoiled these days as gamers, because man, back in the day, there was no messing around. I actually really like the mechanic behind the game. It's, you know, a Tetris style puzzle game where you need to get rid of these different colored germs, which are scattered around the playing field, by using them to complete a row of four. Mario tosses pills into the field that are divided in two, you know, two different colors, like a little Tylenol, which you then rotate to try and make your match of four in a row. And I don't know what it is, but I couldn't get past the third level in this game. I don't think I'm a terrible gamer, but it's hard. It's kind of tough to work around the germs, which, you know, they don't move. They're just kind of static in there. So you kind of have to dodge around them if you're trying to get one down below. And when the speed kicks up, my brain just couldn't work fast enough. It couldn't process which way the pill was going to spin. And it just, man, I beat my head against that third level a dozen times, and I just couldn't get through it. It is super fun, though, but man, it's tricky. Also, I really appreciate that you can select your level after you lose. So even when you mess up and it's game over, you don't need to start from level one and redo the earlier levels to try and move on, which is a very nice touch and I think kind of rare for games of that age, of that era. I would definitely give this a try if you're a puzzle fan and you subscribe to Switch Online, but be wary. It's tricky. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. You can also find me on Blue Sky if you want to chat. And if you have a question or comment, you can leave me a voicemail at speakpipe.com/sidequest. So, until next time, be well and happy gaming.